start the hour like to start every hour with a couple of headlines that you need to know. The Saints have scrapped their entire offseason program, at least the virtual one. Right now, New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton told players on Wednesday they will have no type of offseason program this spring, virtual or otherwise, according to players who spoke with our very own Diana Rossini. The quote, take care of your families, your health, and be ready for the summer, Payton was quoted as saying. So he shared the news in a video conference with more than 80 players on Wednesday. They're going to essentially stay in shutdown and keep everybody safe. In the meantime, Percy Harvin has announced he's ready to come back and play in the NFL again. In a wide receiver-rich draft, it's obviously going to be hard to find the right spot. But Harvin told ESPN's Josina Anderson he's ready to return to football. And is a quote, I thought I was done, but that itch came back. He turns 32 next month. Remember, he retired for a second time in March 2017 after playing in two games the previous season with the Buffalo Bills. He underwent hip surgery in August in Gainesville, Florida. So they found a blockage at the point that they said may have been there since high school. He said that's a turning point. He finally feels healthy. And since he does feel healthy, he's ready and excited to come back to the NFL. And interesting little family note. Family that drafts together stays together. Ron Rivera is going to rely on plenty of extra help at the draft, but it's all help that's allowed because it's his wife and daughter. They'll all play roles during the draft, allowing the coach to stay focused on the big screen TVs and computers. His daughter works for the Redskins social media department, so she's put together a video of his home setup. It looks like they're going to be helping him keep track of who's on and off the board and helping with all the other ancillary parts of it. Apparently, he's even given his wife's phone number out as the emergency phone number in case somebody needs to reach him for a trade. All a reminder that tomorrow night's NFL draft is going to look interesting. It's the type of draft you're going to tell your kids about. You'll remember it forever. Those are the headlines you need. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you to chime in. Your NFL team's worst draft moment for your favorite team, your worst draft moment. We're going to get some of your take coming in just a minute. Again, as I've joked throughout the show, I'm a Raiders fan. You know that. That means I've had plenty of these, and it's good to get it out of your system. You got to get the negative juju out before tomorrow night, because tomorrow night is the NFL draft. It's the moment that I absolutely look forward to every year. It's the moment where you have what feels like winners and losers every 10 minutes. It's the moment where everybody begins their season of hope. You feel like your team just got better, and this is the moment where your team can finally catch the team that's ahead of them, or in the case of the Chiefs, your team stays ahead of everybody else. It feels like we all come together at draft time. It's part of why I love it. So we're going to start with some draft straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and it comes in the form of Joe Bengal. Yeah, I'm already ahead of it. Joe Burrow and the Bengals. The question is, can the Bengals turn things around with Joe Burrow? Max and Stephen A. had that debate today on First Take.
I'm not optimistic about a damn thing concerning the Cincinnati Bengals. I want to be respectful to Zach Taylor, who had a rough year his first year. We'll see what he does in the future as the head coach of the franchise. For years, I had advocated that Marvin Lewis needed to go. I never said that he did not deserve to be a head coach in the National Football League. I said he doesn't deserve to be the head coach in Cincinnati. When you have 16 years at a job in the National Football League as a head coach and you don't win one single playoff game in 16 years, I don't give a damn. It's time for some kind of change. That didn't mean that the change needed to be Zach Taylor. I think the biggest problem with the Cincinnati Bengals is from an ownership perspective, because I think they're notoriously cheap. That's my thinking. Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, he's an Ohio native. Obviously, he can ball. And if he shows that kind of potential on the NFL level, considering the kind of character guy he is, and he's somewhat of a local product, he can help galvanize, you know, he can help provoke change, rather, and galvanize the state of Ohio to get behind them in such a fashion that it might force ownership in Cincinnati to veer from its ways and ultimately step up to the program and be committed to doing what it takes to give the city of Cincinnati a respectable postseason product. I get so sick and tired of all of these folks sitting around talking about, oh, Cincinnati's not that bad, and bringing up Kenny Anderson from the 80s and Boomer Esiason and you know, and Andy Dalton and all of this other stuff. What I'm saying, Carson Palmer, let's not forget him. And we know what Chad Ochocinco meant to that franchise. Got 1,000-yard-plus seasons. I think it was like five or six consecutively. Chad Ochocinco was all world. But here's the reality. That organization is not a great organization. They've done nothing to show us otherwise. And to me, you know, when you don't achieve anything in the postseason, I don't believe in you. And that's all I'm trying to say.
But what great quarterback have they had to build around? Not a guy who you're trying to squint and pretend is great, but who showed you that he really had the potential to be great. One thing you could say about, what's that? Carson Palmer, by the way,
I said Carson
no
Palmer
doubt about it. He was not a top three quarterback like people were pretending back then. Oh, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Carson Palmer. But he was a very good quarterback. But we're talking about special kind of guys. Carson Palmer looked that way for a minute. Andy Dalton, people were hoping to be that. Joe Burrow, the first time he got a chance to play, balled out. And he followed that up with a season that many consider the greatest in the history of college football. He just threw 60 touchdown passes in a season with 5,600 yards. He won the Heisman Trophy and the national championship in a great game against a great team and program. I mean, how much more could he have achieved in the time that he had to do it in two seasons, really, as a starter on the college level? So are you optimistic about Burrow if you're just looking at the situation? Bad organization, bad franchise, drafts a quarterback number one, optimistic or pessimistic? Are we hoping that Burrow can do something, or have we already seen that he's done it on a college level as well as anyone's ever done it at least, and that gives you reason to believe he can succeed as a pro? I think that is the case, and you should be optimistic if you're Cincinnati about Joe Burrow.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. That's some Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Let me stress this. I think Joe Burrow is great. Not good. I think Joe Burrow is great. And I think Joe Burrow can be great for the Bengals. But let's be real here for a second. Was Andy Dalton the problem for Cincinnati? I mean, no. Is Andy Dalton an epic quarterback? Is he, you know, Aaron Rodgers part two? Is he Patrick Mahomes part two? No. But was he the problem? Was he the reason that they're sitting with the first overall pick in the NFL draft? No, absolutely not. So any presumption, as good as I think Joe Burrow is going to be, that he's going to suddenly come in and win a bunch of games is flawed. It's flawed at best. And it's not because I don't believe in Joe Burrow. It's because I think we're forgetting that Andy Dalton isn't hot garbage. Andy Dalton will go somewhere and have value. He's a pretty good quarterback. In the world of everything has to be great or terrible, guess what? Andy Dalton, he's pretty good. He's not spectacular. Maybe you wouldn't get excited to go buy the Dalton jersey if your favorite team got him, but he's not going to turn around and be hot garbage. We're treating it like Andy Dalton has just been the liability that has dragged the Bengals down. No. In fact, he's gone to the playoffs with the Cincinnati Bengals. Let that soak in. That's got to mean something. Have you heard about the All-In Challenge, by the way? It's a fundraising effort for coronavirus crisis relief. 100% of what's raised benefits organizations providing food to those in need. You can go to allinchallenge.com to see once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences and items to bid on, or you can enter to win, including designing and calling a play at a Philadelphia Eagles preseason game, batting practice and dinner with Aaron Judge, or how about, I don't know, you want to play horse and sit courtside for a Lakers game with Magic Johnson? Crazy thing we said this morning on Go Linguingo, they've got one out there now. Have lunch with Dennis Rodman, and they go on a custom Lamborghini boat with him. Just make sure that you get to drive. I just want to be able to drive a Lamborghini boat. All of the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, benefit organizations providing food to those in need. I stress this to everybody. If you go look at the website, you're going to see a lot of auction items. Most of us will never be able to afford those auction items. If you can, go bid. That's great. If you can't, there's still a way for you to get involved. There are raffle items, and you can simply go buy essentially raffle tickets, and those raffle items are incredible. Those are the things, like you want to be a walk-on in a Scorsese movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro, you can buy 10 raffle tickets for $10. It's that easy to get involved. And the best thing is that 100% of the proceeds benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate or learn more about how everybody helps, visit allinchallenge.com. It's a great thing to go out there and do. I'm all in on Joe Burrow. I just want everybody to remember that Joe Burrow is one component of what the Bengals need. And so often we look at quarterbacks and say, okay, this quarterback is going to turn the franchise around. I think that's usually because first overall picks at quarterback are replacing an absolute dog at quarterback. I'm not willing to say that about Andy Dalton. They've got to fix this offensive line. It is an absolute must for the Cincinnati Bengals to fix their offensive line. Now, they obviously lost their first rounder last year before the season even started, so they'll get some help there. There's going to be some help. But anyone that presumes that Joe Burrow is the answer right away, to me, it's a flawed process. That being said, I got to say this again. I think Joe Burrow has the potential to be Andrew Luck good. So I am all in on Joe Burrow. We're going to get some expertise on it, as we like to do every day when we do QB Continued. We like to take it a step forward and get somebody right in the heart of it to come on and join us. So ESPN Bengals reporter Ben Baby joins us. Ben, thanks for your time, man. I hope you're great, and we really appreciate you coming on with us. What are your thoughts? I'm trying to get a sense to everybody of where the Bengals have gone wrong to be so bad that they get the first overall pick in the draft. What's the biggest hole for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, you know, first off, thanks for having me. And like you said, you know, I think a lot of things have went wrong for them to have this first pick. And really, when you look at it, the roster's really just gotten a lot older at a lot of key positions. And they drafted really well at the beginning of the 2010s. And then, you know, as the years continued, it just that kind of really lagged off. You know, you drafted A.J. Green and Andy Dalton and Tyler Eifert and Geno Atkins. And all these guys were really strong contributors for a number of years. But now they've gotten older. And if the Bengals have kind of missed on drafts in recent years, that put their roster in a really rough situation, and you combine that with the fact that they don't typically spend in free agency, and you end up where they are. So, you know, right now they're still in the thick of the rebuilding process that'll continue tomorrow night when they, you know, presumably draft Joe Burrow with the top overall pick. But, you know, there's still some work that needs to be done. I think linebacker and wide receiver are going to be two positions that need to be addressed. And, you know, I think that they're going to be really – you know, they're going to have to be hit on a lot of these picks this year if they want to open up that postseason window in the near future.
We're talking to ESPN Bengals reporter Ben Baby on First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Ben, we haven't heard much in the way of any sort of surprise at the top overall pick. You said presumably Joe Burrow, and we've all been working on that presumption. Have you gotten any sense on whether or not the team has been fielding calls for the top overall pick?
You know, we asked Zach Taylor that the other day, and he basically declined to comment. Anytime he declines the comment, period, and says nothing else, that usually means there's a little smoke to where the you know, to the fire there. You know, but all, you know, by and large, throughout this whole process, no matter what the offer was, because you know, a lot of people have asked me, what do you think it's going to take for the Bengals to move it? And I just don't think that there is any realistic offer, because when you look at, you know, not only the fit of Joe Burrow into what this offense could look like and what Taylor wants to run. But more so just the fact that this fan base has been clamoring for just one guy basically since the middle of last fall. I think it'd be a rough sell, you know, to this fan base to get anybody but Burrow. And I think that's another factor that needs to be considered as well, because you look at their attendance, it was the worst since 1993. You know, they already hit the reset a couple of years ago when they, you know, parted ways with Marvin Lewis and brought in Zach Taylor. And so now, you know, you kind of need a jolt. You can't just, you know, keep changing things up. You need to figure out something that's going to work. And so Burrow, you know, I think is going to be the one person in this draft who can really, you know, revitalize his fan base. And it's something that desperately needs to happen as much as the on-field product needs to improve.
We're talking to ESPN Bengals reporter Ben Baby. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So Andy Dalton is somebody that I just said, you know, he's, to me, he's in the hall of the pretty good. He's an okay quarterback in the NFL, and they still have value, especially at 1 year, $17.7 million. So knowing that they're going to draft Burrow and all presumption from everybody, what do they then do with Andy Dalton?
You know, I think there's two main scenarios that could happen. They basically have to happen. One is in a best case scenario, I think if you're the Bengals, you're able to trade Andy to another team and maybe get a couple more, you know, maybe get a mid round pick this year, or, you know, something doesn't fall someone's way at the beginning of the draft and they're now in the market for a veteran quarterback. You know, the issue is Andy Dalton was on the market when a lot of veteran quarterbacks were as well. And so that's kind of hurt his value. And, you know, it's interesting that Andy made comments recently that, you know, he wouldn't mind staying in Cincinnati. Which, you know, I think that's curious considering he wants to remain a starter, and I just don't see that happening in Cincinnati for him moving forward. You know, if they don't trade him, I think they have to cut him because they can't afford that $17.7 million cap hit. They spent a lot of money in free agency, and once they sign this draft class, there just won't be enough money there for to pay Andy what he's due. So at the very least, the contract would have to be restructured. But then you have to ask, you know, Andy's got to, you know, find out if there's a spot for him as a backup maybe somewhere else, and maybe he can do what Ryan Tannehill did and eventually work his way into a starting role, and we obviously see how well that turned out for Tannehill this offseason.
We're talking about maybe getting a sense of the Bengals situation ahead of the NFL draft. So let's put Burrow on the Bengals this year and presume that the draft goes well for them. Who are the Cincinnati Bengals going into next season in your mind?
I mean, they're still going to be a team that's probably, you know, at least a season away from making the playoffs. When you look at the roster and, you know, despite all the work they've done, you know, you're still in the middle of a deep rebuild. And I think there's still a sense, even among the coaching staff, that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And as good as Burrow looked last year and, you know, as high as the ceiling might be, there's still an acclimation period when you go from the top level of college football into the NFL, especially at the quarterback position where you're having to deal with a lot more faster players, tighter passing windows, and, you know, the speed of the game is just that much quicker. So I think it's going to take some time for him to get acclimated. And I don't see the postseason being a realistic, you know, thing for the Bengals in 2020. I think in 2021, you kind of want to set yourself up to make a potential run. But I think we're going to really know if even that's possible by the back end of the 2020 season. And all of that is even depending on what happens, you know, given the global pandemic and when we're able to start things up again, too.
Ben, what's the latest on A.J. Green's contract situation?
You know, right now, you know, I think we're still in a holding pattern with that. You know, I would be surprised, you know, given everything the Bengals know, I think it's going to be hard for them to give him a long-term deal. So, you know, he would just be here on the franchise tag for one season. You know, my big question is, does AJ want to come back if he plays well enough, if he's healthy, and he puts up the numbers that we're used to seeing from him, and Cincinnati offers him that long-term deal he's looking for? Does he want to take that and stay in Cincinnati? You know, because he's made several comments over the last, you know, several months that suggested that, you know, I don't really need to prove anything to this franchise. I've been here since 2011. They know what I can do when I'm healthy. And so I think that he's going to, you know, I think it'll be a slight to him if they don't give him a long-term deal before the midsummer deadline for those players who are on franchise tag. So that's a situation to watch. I don't think he's going anywhere in 2020, but really what's in jeopardy is him being in Cincinnati for 2021 and beyond.
ESPN Bengals reporter Ben Baby. Ben, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy getting to cover Joe Burrow. It's going to be a blast. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Appreciate you.
At least we're all presuming that it's Joe Burrow. Let's say, I mean, well, stranger things have happened. You know, we've all made these presumptions in the past and been wrong at some point. Speaking of the Bengals, what's your NFL favorite team worst draft moment? Taking some of your calls on it. Corey in Cincinnati, what's the worst moment for you, Corey?
Man, being a Bengals fan, you know, I could make a little list here, but the most recent one was to 2017 draft. We selected John Ross at number 9. And the one and only Patrick Mahomes went number 10.
Oh, man. How many teams, like how many times are all of us, and I appreciate your take on it, going to be looking at Patrick Mahomes in that draft and just puckering up every single time? I mean, that's just what happens as we look across the board. Brian in Wisconsin, what's your NFL team's worst draft moment?
Well, I'm a Packer fan, number one. How you doing, Jason? I get kind of tired of hearing about the Tony Mandarich thing. We deserve the beating we get for it, though, but I can go a little bit before that. When we had, I think we had like 18 and 19 in the first round, two first-round picks back-to-back, and Kuiper is sitting there just going over and over. The best two on the board are Darnell Thompson and Tony Bennett. Those are the best two on the board, and are those the two we picked. I'm sorry, Lamar Lathan and Emmitt Smith were the ones that he was telling us to pick.
Oh, yeah. That okay. Let's be honest. That hurts. And you're right. I've had a ton of Packers fans come in and tweet about the Mandarich pick. Obviously, with Barry Sanders, the next three picks, the next four, even Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and Deion Sanders were the next three picks in that draft. So obviously, Tony Mandarich stinks. But you know what? Look at it this way: all of that winding road led you somehow to a path that got you to back-to-back epic quarterbacks. So let's just at least find the positive. See, I'm finding the positive here. I'm positive you should tune into The Last Dance. It's behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want to keep taking your take, your NFL team's worst draft moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, I feel like we've been saying this forever, but the Cowboys and Dak still haven't reached an agreement. First Take gave their thoughts on the negotiations, and you'll hear those thoughts coming up next.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Tune into The Last Dance. Just do it. It's a behind-the-scenes look at 90s Chicago Bulls, their dynasty. The series continues this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast, of course. The series itself is 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, with all the naughty words, no less. All right, so we're taking your take, your favorite NFL team's worst draft moment. We've been taking that all day. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Having a little fun there as we take a look at your worst draft moment. Sean in Washington, what do you got for your favorite NFL team's worst moment?
Jason, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I've been a lifelong Seahawks fan, so I've been seeing the ups and downs all throughout my life, but nothing was lower than 1991, drafting Dan McGuire 16th overall, and then turning around 2 years later and taking Rick Meyer number two overall.
Ooh, Rick Meyer at least had one decent year at the beginning of it, but boy, Rick Meyer bounced around. People thought he was going to be good, though. I'll at least give you that one. I'll try and give you a little benefit of the doubt on that one. I want you guys, you've stacked the lines. We'll keep sharing each other's misery. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. See, the good thing about getting this off your chest is that tomorrow you'll be able to freshly say, you know what, it's better then, and you'll have so many options there. So, in the meantime, it's another day, which means we have another update on the Cowboys and Dak Prescott specifically. Jerry Jones spoke on a conference call with media and made it clear that not only is there not a lot of new movement, but there's not a lot of urgency as the Cowboys have been working on other things in the world right now. That makes sense. Rex Ryan joined Max and Stephen A. to have an interesting debate on who has the upper hand. Is it Dak or is it the Cowboys in this contract negotiation?
Actually, Dak. And the number one reason is Jerry and the Cowboys have shown every indication that they will cave every time. I go back to the negotiations with other players in the recent past. The star running back, who you drafted fourth overall, Ezekiel Elliott, comes. He's not even up. He can't even, like, sit out the year and become a free agent. He really has no leverage. And Stephen Jones comes out and says, you know what? We are not going to reset the market with Ezekiel Elliott. A week later, within a week, they had reset the market with Ezekiel Elliott, I believe in terms of guaranteed dollars and average annual income. I have to check that. But they immediately reset the market. They did exactly what they said that they weren't going to do. A week later, with a guy who didn't have so much leverage, and by the way, is not your quarterback. They paid every guy on the team. Everyone got paid on this team, except Dak Prescott, who they started out towing one kind of line, and by the end, put him right in line with the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and are now scoffing at certain, you know, he wants to be a free agent again after so many years, so he can take advantage of a new television contract and all this kind of stuff. That's what they're down to, those kind of details. He folds. That's what he does. And by the way, that may be because, number one, he has a quote in the past saying all of his best investments, he was told he overpaid for at the time. So Jerry is not a guy who's thinking, I'm going to make my money on the margins. He has a big imagination. He thinks big. And when it comes to these kind of negotiations, eventually he's going to say, what am I doing? I'm not going to be penny wise and pound foolish. That's number one. And number two, I believe he is now the oldest recorded human being on earth. Like, Jerry's like 114 years old. He realizes, it seems,
such
that he wants to win. He wants to win another championship. Now, he's a brilliant businessman in the sense that he can keep, he's made a ton of money with the Cowboys, and he can keep their name in the news by doing stuff like this. But ultimately, what does he want his legacy to be? A guy who figured out how to manipulate a salary cap that he invented early on by getting Deion Sanders and squeezing a couple extra championships out and then doing nothing again for 25, 30, 35 years? Or does he want to be one of the all-time great owners? Does he want another championship? The team is built to win now. He will cave. Dak has the leverage.
Well, first of all, I think the most important thing in all of this, Max Kellerman, is that you need to mind your manners when you're talking about my buddy Jerry Jones, my Libra brother right there. I think you watch your mind, you mind your manners, you watch your mouth, and you make sure that you conduct yourself and you speak eloquently yet respectfully. That's my buddy Jerry Jones right there. Watch your mouth. That's number one. Number two, and more importantly, I'm going to say this. I've gotten to a point where I think the leverage really belongs to Jerry Jones at this particular moment in time. Let's analyze this for a second here, Max, with everything that you're saying, obviously correct about the people that he signed and what have you. Let's remember they placed the exclusive franchise tag on Dak Prescott. That's slotting $33 million for him for this upcoming season. It also mandates that they have until July 15th to reach a deal for him. Let's suppose this goes up to the very last day or whatever the case may be. Who's going to sign him? Because nobody else is allowed to sign him. He can't go anywhere else right now. And so as a result of that, you're talking about potentially jeopardizing him next season in the event that you can't reach an agreement with him. You've got the number 17 overall pick in the draft. And for those who would sit up there and say, hell, you got Dak Prescott. He just threw for 4,902 yards, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's gotten you to the playoffs twice. He's completing career 65% of his passes, at least three of his first four seasons in the National Football League, without having missed a single game and making back page news just because he missed a practice. You could sit up there and say, if you're Jerry Jones, well, that was a fourth-round pick. I got a first rounder here at number 17. Everybody's talking about this kid, Jordan Love, out of Utah State. What if he falls to me? What if he has some potential? What if he shows up early, virtually or otherwise, and really showcases the kind of things that he's capable of doing? Because I've got my reservations about Dak Prescott. I'm saying if Jerry Jones were to say that, even though he would be excoriated by some, others will sit up there and say, well, hey, Dak Prescott did go 8-8 last season and then get you to the playoffs. I'm not of that belief. I believe Dak Prescott deserves his money long term. I'm looking at the number two passing attack in yards, the number one offense in yards. I'm thinking about him being the captain of that ship, spearheading them. I think it's appalling that Jerry Jones took care of Ezekiel Elliott, LaMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith, and all of these boys before you even took care of your quarterback. That's insane to me. But now that you've gotten to this point and you've held out for this long and the draft is tomorrow and we've got four quarterbacks projected to fall in the top 20 and Dallas has a top 20 pick, I don't think we can rule out anything in the form of leverage when it comes to the Cowboys and specifically Jerry Jones, because Dak Prescott can't go anywhere unless Jerry Jones says you could go somewhere and he's got until July 15th to do it. I think that gives Jerry Jones leverage.
The only leverage Jerry Jones has is for 2 years. So to me, Max, you're right again. I'm going to go with you on this one for sure. But you look, this guy's in the prime of his career, a young player in the prime of his career, and you're not going to take care of him. You took care of Amari Cooper. You took care of, you know, Zeke when you never had to. Forget it. I'm agreeing with Max all the way on this one.
Answer on this, it's just going to be a constant debate. This is one of those things none of us all understand why it's taken so long, but I still think it gets done. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you for your NFL team's worst draft moment. Daniel from Ohio, what do you got for your favorite team?
What's up, Jason? Well, I'm actually from a Lions fan. Hey, pity. Sorry. Predominantly besides the Green Bay debacle in 89, we get Sanders and maybe Stafford. Name me a time we had a good draft. Especially the millionaire.
Okay, that's probably fair. I think there are some of us as fans that have teams that are so bad, it's hard to look back and find a draft that was incredibly successful. But I will remind you, again, I'm a lifelong Raiders fan. Last year was was a great draft for the Raiders. So there's always hope. You never know. This could be the first year it turns around. Ryan in Pennsylvania, what do you got as your favorite team's worst draft moment?
Hey, Jason. Huge Steelers fan here. 90% of the time, we always make a great pick. That 10% of the time when it's awful is when the Steelers decide to go with the defensive back. So I'd have to go with Artie Burns in 2016.
I didn't even remember that. Did he end up playing at all?
Yeah, a few years, a lot of broken down coverages, a lot of games lost because of him.
Oh, that is, you know, but it's rare for you guys. You know, I feel for you because you don't have to deal with it very often, but you get thick skin, and it'll come. Hopefully not for you, actually. I hope nobody goes through that one. Nothing but great drafts. Chris in Ohio, what do you got as your worst draft moment for your favorite team?
All right, I got to say the Browns in 2012, where we took Trent Richardson with the number 3 pick, and then we decided with our second first-round pick to take 28-year-old Brandon Whedon. We're drafting grandpas out there.
God, I'd forgotten about that, and you're right. Like, if you got 2 first-round picks and you blow them both that badly, oh, that is just a swift kick in the no-no places. We all know that. Alex in New Mexico, your favorite NFL team's worst draft moment. What you got?
Yeah, my favorite team is the Denver Broncos, and one pick that I remember a lot is back in 2002 with the 19th overall pick. They ended up taking Ashley Lalee out of Hawaii. And Hall of Famer Ed Reed was took it 5 picks later at the 24 pick. That one hurts.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember when Ashley Lalee was picked, though. And then, as a Raiders fan, I sat there and I'm like, oh, that's going to be tough. That's a good pick. Like, everybody always thinks their biggest rival is getting it right throughout across the board, and it rarely works out that way. Let's go to Marcel in Tennessee. Marcel, what do you got for your favorite team's worst draft moment?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was looking at it would be easy to bring up Jason Smith that year, but I'll have to go back to the Rams, my favorite team, when they were in St. Louis, 96 draft, the whole shebang.
I mean, it is fair if you're going to talk worst draft moments. Like, there's nothing worse when your entire draft is bad. So, you know, if you look at the entire draft class across the way and can't find any hope, I'll take that all day. I'm trying to find out who I'm looking up here and 96 St. Louis draft, Rams draft, Lawrence Phillips, Eddie Kinnison, Tony Banks, Ernie Conwell. Oh, they had 2 firsts and 2 seconds. Oh, and made none of it work. Oh, that is the worst. And because again, it's like the time you're supposed to have the most hope. 888-AESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your favorite team's worst draft moments coming up. Plus, they've got their quarterback and his right-hand man, but are they actually going to win the Super Bowl? We'll discuss it next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of today's show, fear not. You can go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We'll get more of your take coming in just a second. What's your NFL team's worst draft moment? Your favorite team's worst draft moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before we get to that, obviously we know that Gronk and Brady are being reunited. The question is, by becoming reunited with Tampa Bay, is the Gronk is being traded to the Buccaneers to go back to play with his buddy. If the two of them to come together, is there an expectation that in the next 2 years they can win, or they could be in, I should say, sorry, be in the Super Bowl? Stephen A. and Max had that debate today.
I believe they will. I believe they will, because I think the weapons are them combined with their experience is what does it. If you were just relying on them to be great, that would be something different. But when you have the requisite weapons that they have available to them, plus the coaching of Bruce Arians, the offensive stewardship of Byron Leftwich, who I don't think gets enough credit, and you talk about adding veteran missing pieces like Brady and Gronk, I think they can get it done. As great as New Orleans is, they've come up short in the postseason. Green Bay isn't what they used to be, even though I root for my man Aaron Rodgers every single day, because he's still a bad man in my eyes. Don't get me started with anybody in the NFC East, and Jimmy Garoppolo is the favorite in the NFC West. I ain't sold. I think Tampa Bay could pull it off. I don't know if they will, particularly this season, but I think in the next 2 years, they could find themselves in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a 2 year window here because of Tom Brady's age. Because every year, you know, that it's not like turning 43 is like turning 33. From 42 to 43, there's a more precipitous drop off, and he's already dropped off in consecutive years. But I have to admit, on paper, it looks like they're getting close. You know, and the draft is coming up. If they get a good right tackle, if they get a running back who can catch passes, as Dan Orlovsky said, they can get a defensive player. All of a sudden, you look at this team on paper, you go, they're damn good. And look, this is a team that has not had a competent quarterback recently. Jameis Winston was not a competent quarterback. 30 touchdowns for the other, 30 interceptions? I mean, what was it, 112 points for the other team off Jameis Winston interceptions? Remember when Fitzpatrick came in a couple of years ago early in the season? They were putting up 40 points a game. They're an electric offense. Is Fitzpatrick the greatest quarterback ever? He's just kind of competent. So if Brady can be competent, and that clearly he still is, if he can be competent, they should be very good. I do not think, though, at this moment, before the draft, before things are settled, that I would make them my Super Bowl favorites out of the NFC.
Oh, heck no. I mean, last time I checked, the Saints haven't gotten worse. I'm just saying, even if the Bucs have gotten better, the Saints haven't gotten worse. So I'll still put the Saints ahead of the Bucs, even in that division. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. What's your NFL team's worst draft moment? Steven in Washington, what do you got?
The Minnesota Vikings 2003 had the number 7 pick, and they let the clock run out. So it was a no pick.
I remember that because I remember watching the broadcast and not knowing what to do with it. Like, what do you do when the draft clock runs out? That's where so many of us learn that you can sprint up and put a pick in ahead of somebody else that's ahead of you. So reminder, you got to be one step ahead. And I wonder how that's going to play into this particular draft when we're doing a virtual draft. If God forbid there's some sort of a glitch in the matrix somewhere and somebody's having difficulty, how do we prove it? How do we know it? What happens if the clock runs out? Like, that's a moment to keep it fresh in everybody's mind before tomorrow night. Dan in Richmond, what do you got as your favorite NFL team's worst draft moment? Dan, we got you. Going once, going twice, he gone. All right, fine. No more Dan then. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania. John, what do you got as your favorite NFL team's worst draft moment? Come on, John, we got to have you. Come on,
we was Robert Griffin.
Why RG3? Why does everybody hate RG3?
Because they gave away way too much to get him. And then turn
okay,
around
now
to that, have Kirk Cousins.
That's fair. That's fair. And thanks. Sorry, I cut you off there, buddy. I was having a hard time hearing you. So sorry about that. I'm just saying that Heath Shuler was drafted in the same draft as Gus Frerotte. And Gus Frerotte ended up being the starter there, and Heath Shuler ended up being a politician, right? So to me, at least RG3 had one rookie of the year year. Steve in Florida, what's your favorite team's worst moment?
Oh, man. As a Dolphin fan, I guess I've needed psychotherapy for, like, John Avery and John Beck and Ted Ginn. But the worst is, in 88, at the heyday of Marino, we took defensive end Eric Kumerow the year after we took Boza.
Oh, and sorry, we're up against it on the time, Steve. It's a painful time during that era. The Will Cain Show coming up next. They'll continue their show unit mock draft. You don't want to miss that. And tomorrow, we'll get you ready for the draft even more. Thanks for hanging out with First Take Your Take.